Jim Russo is the Network Services 2020 Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions Technical Team Lead at the General Services Administration. And Jim, your colleague Mary Davies writing about satellite solutions and making them easier to procure on the blog at gsablogs.gsa.gov. And she's right. The title of this is Satellite Solutions Reach New Heights in Fiscal 2014. Give me the background here on what GSA makes available and for satellite solutions, how they make satellite solutions available for agencies. Thanks for joining me today, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Francis, and thanks for inviting me. Yeah, we have a partnership in place that we started back in 2009 with the Defense Department, DISA in particular, the Defense Information Systems Agency. And we created a complete commercial satellite communications program set of offerings that now have been available for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, through various GSA contracts. And so what Mary was writing about was that, you know, this past fiscal year, FY14, seems like the program has really hit its stride in terms of, you know, we've, you know, obviously got the DoD component. You know, DoD is our primary user. We designed the program, you know, with their assistance, and you know they, you know, use it, you know, quite religiously. However, it started to branch out across the government as we had hoped it would. There's now other agencies participating and other applications that are driving now the use and participation of other industry partners, quite frankly.
What are some of the applications that are pushing this increase in satellite usage? Because as you said, this was established with DoD, and it's pretty obvious what some of the uses for satellite technology are inside the Defense Department. But Mary writes, out of the 64 agencies that ordered from SATCOM, 45 of them were civilian agencies, Jim.
That's true. We've got a set of agencies that are really making use of distance learning over satellite. And so you might think, well, why in the age of the internet is anybody doing, you know, distance learning over satellite? And there's actually quite a few good answers to that. There's a real value that the educators find in delivering a real-time class, you know, even if the participants are distributed or separated from the instructor. They find that having that real-time give and take with the instructor and the students, and the collaboration between the students as well, creates a better learning experience and is more effective than just, you know, rolling out, you know, an internet webinar or, you know, do it on your own type of arrangement where, you know, you don't know, you know, how much attention a particular participant is paying. They participate or they finish their training at different times, maybe with different attention levels. So there's real value in doing it in real time. And when you look at, a couple of applications we've got, you know, through Social Security, we've got a partnership that we've fostered that supports both DoD and federal agencies. It's called the Government Education and Training Network. Those folks share resources. They share a managed network. They were able to do that in such a way that by buying it together, they were able to save a significant sum of money versus, you know, buying it on their own. So, you know, there's a big area, and that's taken off this year. And I would say, you know, we've got, you know, as I said, Social Security, Department of Justice, FAA, and the VA, that have their different programs, you know, that do distance learning via satellite, in addition to DoD, of course. Another area is continuity of operation of first responder systems. You know, there's a way to create a terrestrial-based network with the satellite communications that backs it up. It gives diversity to a network. It's very easily deployed in a situation where infrastructure is compromised as a result of a natural disaster. And, you know, those now are starting. It's one of the things that, you know, we've been, emphasizing as we've put the program together to different agencies that we talk to, that this is something they shouldn't overlook. So, that has started to pick up steam. And You know, but to be, you know, at the bottom line of all this, you know, the DoD usage, you know, the support of, you know, command, control, communications, and intelligence information over our global communications network is, you know, has also ramped up. And, you know, obviously there's the global communications that you need to support warfighter efforts, but there's also that same infrastructure that's needed to deal with, you know, terrorism or a threat of terrorism. So, you know, all those combined, you know, have, you know, created a situation where, as I said, you know, the program has you know, reached new heights, as Mary said.
Jim Russo of the General Services Administration, following up on a blog post by Mary Davey of the Federal Acquisition Service. And we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Jim, Mary wrote about a couple of different contract vehicles that are available to procure satellite services. How do I know which one to use depending on what my usage are usage will be, or are some services only available on certain contracts, or how do I navigate that process?
Well, we organized the program in a set of three defined service areas. The first, two of them are on our Schedule 70. We created the satellite-specific special item numbers under Schedule 70, and those have been in place for a couple of years now. The first one is called Special Item Number 13254. It's we invented a word, as we used to say when we have put the initial roadshow for this, transponded capacity. There's no such word in the dictionary, transponded, but there you have it. It means bandwidth. It means capacity. It means the ability for a agency to say, I need transport over satellite, and I have the rest. You know, I can integrate it myself. I have the terminals. I just need the bandwidth. So in that case, it's a pretty easy match. You know, we line that up with our special item number for transponded capacity, and we have a number of industry partners that have pre-priced services in those areas, and it creates a basis for you know, competition to begin and, you know, the task order requirement to be competed. The second area is also under Schedule 70, and it's primarily for mobile satellite services. We call it subscription services because we want to be, you know, a little more open scope than just, you know, define mobile services. But there, you know, it's on-the-move communications, it's, you know, satellite phones, it's mobile terminals, you know, very small terminals, you know, things that can be carried, you know, packed up in a backpack and, you know, set up very quickly, or, you know, loaded into a vehicle and set up very quickly. So that's our special item number 13255. And finally, we've got an area we call custom solutions, and we split that into two separate contract sets. You know, one is custom SATCOM solutions, which we call CS2, which is, we have industry partners that are large businesses, and we also have our custom SATCOM solutions small business, CS2 small business, and, you know, that is for, you know, a different set of requirements. So we do help agencies determine, you know, where their requirement sits best between our CS2 and CS2 small business. We don't have thresholds per se, but, you know, there are, you know, complexities of requirements and, you know, geographic requirements that, you know, when combined, you know, make something, you know, either more, you know, better fit for a small business versus a better fit for a large business. So we took a little bit of flack in the beginning when we set up so much of this under Schedule 70, because it was seen as trying to commoditize the satellite world. And, you know, we don't mean to trivialize the satellite services. We don't really consider them commodities. We understand that when any of these are offered, the service provider has, you know, really providing an engineered solution. There's a certain level of quality of service. There's network management included. There's security that underpins it. So, you know, to call them commodities is to sell them short. But, you know, nonetheless, they're on Schedule 70, and, you know, that creates a great starting place for, you know, shopping, if you can want to call it that.
And one of the issues with commoditization, the companies always say, is, well, then I'm forced to compete on price. If I'm the customer, though, That's one of the things I'm primarily interested in. Do you have pricing data available for the solutions that are available through Schedule 70?
Yes, there's a pretty significant list of pricing that's in our normal tool set that comes with Schedule 70. Some of it's in the GSA Advantage system. All of it is in the, accessible through the GSA e-library. All of those contracts are available through e-library, so any of our 36 companies that currently hold contracts, and that's made up of 22 large and 14 small businesses, have their contracts posted in the e-library system. And, they're easily viewable, downloadable. We also have a couple of aids, in terms of our mobile satellite services, where we've created a couple of tools that we make available to, potential users where they want to quickly compare across contracts. They may want to look at, satellite phones or mobile satellite services, and we can help with that with some tools we've created ahead of time.